In a way, both of these readings talk about God present in human dimensions. And they can lead us to understand what unity of the church should mean on this opening day of the unity octave. This is a classic passage where Samuel warns the people. This is what a king will do. Why do the people want a king? We want somebody human, tangible, to be the center, and to lead us and to guide us. Now, that's legitimate. But they're doing it. But God said, I'm doing that for you. In the narrative, in Samuel here, there's two accounts of the way the Jews got their king. Huh? One is this one, and this will carry on for a while. And the other is that God said to Samuel, who was the kingmaker, go find Saul and anoint him. Go start looking for somebody, and I'll point him out to you. And we have both these stories. You say, well, just a second. You know, I thought God didn't want a king. Now he's telling them, go find one. There are two dimensions to this whole reality, huh? And there's a tension. Wanting someone among us who is visible, tangible, and at the same time wanting God to be our ruler. This is prophecy. This is prophecy. This is the, you know, God's people already seeing the only solution to this tension is that God himself become human and rule us. And so the editor, putting these two, that's the way it went, these two different accounts, he juxtaposes it like a checkerboard, black, white, all the way through this narrative. First one side, then the other. Now you've got to, when you read those things, you've got to say, what's going on? Don't you? You have to. What's going on? The Lord says, you're not rejected, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And then he says, go anoint Saul. Now this is meant to provoke in us this sense of tension and prophecy. But we have to meditate on it. And what we have in the next story is exactly that, huh? Jesus, he says to this person, child, my friend, your sins are forgiven. Shock! This is a human being performing a divine act. Who can forgive sins but God? In fact, in Hebrew, the very word for forgiveness, salach, is only used of God. Only God can salach, just as only God can bara, create. So who is this? Saying, not, I hope God forgives your sins, I'll pray for you that God forgives you, you are forgiven. Who is he? And then he says to this, you know, well, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? For us, both are impossible, but not for him. And so he gives them, in his mercy, he gives them a sign that I have the right to forgive sins. And it says here, why? Because he is the Son of Man. Now, today would be the day, as we start the unity octave, to really go to the Lord and ask him, can you show me, can you give me an experience of what it means that I am forgiven? Could you let me, you know, really? You see, this is the grace that is starting to be poured out now in the church. Huh? The grace of clarity. Seeing what my sin really is, how horrid it is, how gross, how rebellious, how evil. But seeing all that in the light of God's mercy in the eyes of Jesus Christ, that's freedom. You know, freedom isn't, well, I got off the hook. Did you? Then why are you still worried? No, you don't get off the hook. You know forgiveness. And you know it when you see it in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And that's the gift. From there comes church unity. We can negotiate all we want, but if we're all weighed down by the sense of sin, how far are we going to get? And who's going to forgive whom? Well, we'll try, and that's worthwhile. Try, I'm going to forgive all these people. I don't know why this reminds me of a very funny story. There's a very fine Pentecostal. His name is Vincent Sinan. Sinan is an Irish name, but he's from way down in the south in this country. So he went over there, and he's a Pentecostal. And he went over there, and he said, you know, Francis, I went and saw the Sinan Castle. That used to be the family castle. And then the Protestants took it. And he's a Protestant, you know. It was so funny. You see, forgiveness begins with accepting God's forgiveness. The real thing. We can try. And as we try, God honors that and forgives us. Huh? But one day, we have got to know this in the depth of our being so that we're really free to experience the mercy in the eyes of Jesus Christ, seeing our sin for all that it really is. Our idea of forgiveness is the Lord saying, oh, well, it really wasn't so bad, you know. Oh, he'll never say that. He's going to say it was awful. It was evil. That's the truth. But the other truth is, I have forgiven you. You are totally forgiven in the power of my blood. Then we can work for unity. Because now we know what forgiveness is, and we're not worried about it. That's the grace, I think, of today. And so it's very beautiful that the Lord has given us these texts. Huh? The yearning in the human spirit for God to be humanly available, but still be God. And you see it in this prophetic way that the author tells these two stories of how they got a king. You'll see the same thing in the book of Kings in chapter 8, 1 Kings. Where Solomon prays, you fill the whole universe. How can you just be in this temple? The answer? The incarnation. Now, it's up to us to pray, repent, forgive, so that that unity is real. And of course, if Satan can weaken the body of Christ, then he knows. He'll retain his grip on this world. So that's why we pray every year under the guidance of these heroes on both sides, you know, the man who founded the Unity Octave, the man who founded La Porte Ouverte, the Open Door, and